Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
Coming up on NBA Today, why Embiid has put the entire East on notice, but Perk, you still have some concerns for the Sixers season?
Yes.
He explains coming up here. Plus, LeBron has talked about his ending his career on the same team as Bronny, but why that idea? It might actually be closer to reality today. And it's finally here. Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, we're breaking down tonight's epic Final Four meeting between some college hoops royalty. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Happy Friday, everybody. You know these two beautiful faces. It is Zach Lowe. It is Kendrick Perkins. I'm Malika Andrews. There's really no duo I would rather end the week with, gentlemen. And there is no duo that 76ers fans want to see on the floor more than the one that they got to see last night. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. This is the first time we've seen these two play together. Just the second game since Joel Embiid's return. And here is how it looked against a foe they know well, Zach Lowe, the Miami Heat.
They came out flying, and Tyrese Maxey was flying around everyone, even Bam. It's hard to fly around Bam.
But yet he was. Tyrese Maxey once again, Perk.
I see a lot of two-man game. Reminds me of Murray and Jokic. If they master that, they will be a problem in the future.
Wow. Well, especially when you're making that comparison. Joel Embiid, the big fella, going to work here. Pulls up. That's good.
Well, that don't remind me of Jokic. That's more like KD.
Oh, so now we have Jokic, KD, and just, Jamal Murray comparisons to Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's one of those days. It's Friday.
Was that James Harden then? The little step back?
Exactly. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
A little faster than James, but yes.
Starting to get a hang of it here as the Philadelphia 76ers lead by 10. Joel Embiid, he says, you know what? Why not? I'm going to step into a three. Now I'm Joel M3'd, Zach Lowe.
Boo. That barely moved, though. That barely moved.
Joel. Can't quite get that one to go, but don't worry. Second chance points here for the Philadelphia 76ers.
And it was all happened by Nicholas Batum and then Tyrese Maxey knocking down the tray ball.
Going ahead to the fourth quarter here. The 76ers have a one-point lead, 3 minutes left to play. Maxey attacks, knocks down the jumper. And then 50 seconds left. This one was a nail-biter down at the end. The Heat down 102-107. They brought in Scary Terry for moments like this. Terry Rozier creates space, knocks down the three. That would be the Heat's only bucket in the last 7 minutes and 30 seconds of the game, Zach.
Yeah, this is a Yakety Sax possession right here. But just not, it's not. What's going on? Jimmy's got, okay, we got to shoot. Someone's got to shoot. Please shoot. Yakety Sax, baby.
And that's a concern for the Heat offense. I mean, for the Heat team, is their offense.
Maxey, 37 points, 11 assists, and Embiid, 29 and 4. Listen to this moment between the two of them afterwards.
Come on, man. What I tell you? What I tell you? For sure. Always. Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. Sorry, guys. Joel Embiid was talking to me.
You know, when Joel Embiid is talking to you during a post-game interview, you must listen and include him in on that interview, particularly when he's saying things like that. But the 76ers, they've won each of their games since Joel returned to the lineup. It's been a positive sign when both he and Tyrese Maxey have been on the court this season. Because look at that. The pair have played in just 34 games together, but Philly has won 27 of them. That gives them a win percentage that would be the best in the NBA if it was over an 82-game span. It's not. We know that. But, Perk, I'll ask you what Joel Embiid just asked. He said, imagine. What can these guys do if they are like this? What can they be? What can they do?
They can actually win an NBA championship in the near future. I'm not talking about now in this year, but in the near future, maybe next year. Because let's be honest, when Joel Embiid is healthy, Tyrese Maxey is healthy, they're one of the better duos in the league. It's not one other duo I would take over them. Probably Jokic and Murray, but when they're mastering the two-man game like they did last night, you know, whether it's dribble handoffs, the pick-and-pop action, the pick-and-roll action, and you get this all-NBA Tyrese Maxey that we witnessed last night, Absolutely. Their ceiling in the near future is winning the championship together.
I appreciate the positivity for the future near and far. It's something that my therapist says I need to work on, but I'm focusing on the now.
We're going there.
I always focus on the now, Zach. Okay. That's my problem. So for this season, for Tyrese Maxey, for Joel Embiid, can they lead the Sixers to their first conference finals in two decades?
Yes, they can. What a 72 hours for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid comes back. They beat the Thunder. The Nets do them a solid by beating the Pacers, who they're trying to catch for number six. Then they beat the Heat, who they're trying to catch for number six and number seven. If they go 5-0, and it's in play, look at their schedule. It's in play. They might actually get up to number six. If they get up to number six, unless Milwaukee keeps falling apart, they could get Cleveland, who's 11-15 in their last 26 games. The Knicks, who just lost Julius Randle for the season. The Magic, who are feisty and tough but inexperienced and can't score. The roadmap is there. What a late season plot twist it would be if Joel Embiid came back after this free fall from like second to eighth, and they're all of a sudden getting healthier, getting better, and giving Milwaukee a run in the second round. Let's go.
Zach?
Yeah.
Keep a cool booty. I'm not going to jump.
Listen,
I'm not going to jump the gun like that right now for the simple fact I watched that game last night, and what I saw from Joel Embiid, listen, he's going to get buckets, right? If he stay in the two-man game, he's going to score on the perimeter with his face up and his mitty. But when I saw him last night, right now, since he come back from injury and it's expected, he has been playing below the rim, right? He's not being able to elevate, dunk on people, whatever the case may be. So he's playing at about probably 75 to 80%. And when you think about the matchups, in order for the road for him to get to the conference finals, he's going to have to go against the likes of a Giannis Antetokounmpo or maybe a Boston Celtics. And I just don't see them beating those particular teams to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not saying he can't do it in the near future, but not now.
Well, right now, though, I wouldn't have said a couple of weeks ago that Philadelphia could be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and now that's the direction they're trending. It was the first ever career 35-point, 10-assist game for Tyrese Maxey. Kelly Oubre looking like a bona fide third option for them. They could be a very scary team that I wonder, Perk, if you look at Euro 7-08 Celtics, what happened in the first round against the Hawks?
We went seven games.
Right. I wonder if even a feisty Philadelphia team, if that same kind of story could play out in the first round.
Wait a second. I'm supposed to drink every time the 2008 Celtics are brought up around Perk. I don't have a drink. You can't do that.
We're going to get you one in a couple of minutes. Don't worry about that. But before we would need to get you a drink if we were down in Miami as well. That is the cultural custom down in Miami. And you've said you want to wait until the postseason. That's when you judge the Miami Heat. Are you still waiting, or are you ready to make any judgments yet?
We're all still waiting. You watched the last 6 minutes of that game? Their offense just went completely haywire, totally off the rails. And if they keep playing this play-in game every year, one of these years they're going to get burned. They almost got burned last year when they lost to the Hawks and then almost lost to the Bulls. This is a very dangerous game. Their crunch time offense has been abysmal all season. Their overall offense is bottom 10. And where's Jimmy Butler? He's talking about how it's Jimmy Butler time. He's going to change it to the best player of the world. We know he can do it. Mm. He's done it. I have nothing but respect for Jimmy Butler. He's amazing. His last six or seven games are like 15 points, 17 points. Like, the Heat can't score enough to win with Jimmy Butler just kind of being good but not great.
And where's Tyler Hero? It seemed like every time we get to this point, he's injured. And I'm not questioning the legitimacy of his injury. I'm just saying, we give AD and Kawhi Leonard some flack for, missing games. That same energy got to be kept towards Tyler Hero.
He is listed as questionable for tonight, so we'll see whether or not Hero. I do want to shift to some news from this morning before we get Zach Lowe a drink. Bronny James, he announced on social media this morning that he will enter the 2024 NBA draft, but this is key as well, right? He's maintaining his college eligibility and will also enter the transfer portal. That means that he, along with hundreds of other college players, they have until May 31st to decide if he's going to stay in the draft or if he is going to go back to school. So here is a look at Bronny's IG post. He said, I've had a year, it's had some ups, it's had some downs, but it all added to growth for me as a man, a student, an athlete. Thank you to USC for an amazing freshman year, and as always, thankful for my family, my friends, my doctors, athletic trainers, and fans for support. Jay Billis is with us now. And Jay, from what you saw from Bronny at USC, is he ready to be an NBA player right now this year?
Probably not. Not right now. I think he's got a ways to go, but he's a talented young player. And honestly, Malik, I'm just glad he's playing with what he's been through. He's had an extraordinary journey to get to this point. But he's a good basketball player that I think has a bright future. But, you know, is he ready right now? Probably not. But that's true of a number of players that declare for the draft at this age.
I'm so glad you brought up everything that he's been through. It really is good just to see him back on the floor. But when you think about the best chances for him to continue to hone his game, whether that's at the NBA level or spending a little bit more time in college, what do you think is best for him in this ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a good question, Malika. I think it's one of personal preference. There are a lot of ways to develop your game and your maturity for the NBA. You can certainly go the G League route and go right into the league where you can focus all of your attention on improving as a player and honing your skills for a long career as a professional. But it's certainly a viable option to stay in college. And one of the things about staying in college, you not only get your education, but you get to develop the ego of a great player. You go into the NBA when you're not ready to be a lead dog. You're going in to be a role player. And I'm not saying that in the long term, Bronny James is going to be a lead dog in the NBA. I'm not suggesting he's that type of talent or is projected as that kind of type of talent. But there is some value in having that kind of weight on your shoulders in college and learning how to deal with it. So it's really one of personal preference. And, you know, if only he had somebody in his family that had significant basketball experience to help him with this decision.
Right. If only he had the NBA's, you know, all-time leading scorer to lean on. Well, good thing he actually does. Jay, thank you so much. I do, before we let you go, you are in Arizona, so I want to talk a little bit about the men's Final Four here, because Zach Edey, I'm looking at it right here, he's really had one of the best performances in NCAA history in a tournament, and it is the most important game of his career now, leading Purdue to this Final Four. Do you think he has a future as a starter in the NBA?
I do. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, he'd be the number one overall pick. But as you know better than anybody, the game has changed and it's different now. But his mobility has improved. He's only been playing organized basketball for 7 years. And he could not only be two-time National Player of the Year, he could be most improved player in college over the last 2 years, and especially from last year to this year. Zach Edey is going to play in the NBA and he's going to play well. Will he be like the old-timey centers? No. The game has changed too much for that to happen, but I think he's going to play a long time in that league.
You can see Jonathan Givony's mock draft right there on your screen. But Jay, before we let you go, I have to ask you, what was going through your mind when this was happening the other day? We got this video in and you were asked to be dunked over?
Yeah, Malika, it was a really different experience. In all my years playing, I never got dunked on and dunked over. So, I mean, it was a brand new thing for me. So I just had to wrap my head around, you know, what was happening. But it was really fun. It was a little bit daunting. I'm glad I cut my hair for it so it didn't cause any problems.
It's a good thing that we have Kendrick Perkins in studio. He can tell us a little bit more about being dunked on and what that feels like more regularly. Jay Billis, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today.
Thanks, Malika.
Yeah, it's a good thing Perk is here. He's the expert. Still to come on NBA Today. Kendrick, don't count out those Nova Knicks, man. Jalen Brunson breaking records, but are you still a believer?
I told you I was going to drown with the ship.
Plus, Clippers-Mavs is destined for a first round, but only one can move on. So who will make the most noise in the playoffs? We discuss. And the Warriors come out to play. Did I do that right? Houston got a lesson in hoops and trolling from Steph and the crew. That's next on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Can you believe we're only 9 days away from the end of the regular season?
Yeah, well, let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Let's go coast to coast. Get to the meat and potatoes. We're going to start in the Mecca. That's where the Knicks' 21-point comeback match, their largest comeback win of the season. Brunson Hart and DiVincenzo combined to score or assist on 99 points. So shout out the Nova Knicks. Perk Brunson, another great game. Should he get more MVP love?
Hell yeah, because he's doing more with less in the force. Number four in the league in scoring. I mean, they're half a game from being out of the third spot in the Eastern Conference. Yes, big body Brunson should get more MVP.
And OG's been upgraded to questionable tonight. All right, sticking in the West, the Mavs improved to 12-2 in their last 14 games, the best record in the NBA since March 7th. Luka, Kyrie, they've each scored 25 or more in the same game for the 23rd time this season. Woo. Zach, Dallas looking like a whole different team. What has impressed you the most?
It's the defense and the center position. We know they can score. Luka and Kyrie are incredibly dynamic. Their chemistry is awesome. But what they're getting from Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, although he's been injured, top-notch center play. Changes the game.
Really sticking in the West. I think my geography's all messed up. The Clippers, they hosted the defending champs last night across the street in Crypto.com Arena. Michael Porter Jr., he wanted to be called for a foul on that one as he collides with Zubats. But the Clippers come down with the ball. Porter Jr. still looks like he's arguing a little bit. Playing some defense there. He's fouled under the basket, but Michael Malone is livid here, Zach.
Yeah, you could tell he was going to get tossed when you're out on the court like that, and you don't. He was ready. Mike was ready to get run in this one. He got run. He got his money's worth.
James Harden was ready,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, James Harden showed him the door.
Do one of these, you got one.
Yep. Hi, Michael Malone ejected from the game, but it continued. Big block there. The Denver Nuggets getting out in transition. They led by as many as 17 points in this one, Zach.
Early they led, they were rolling, and credit to the Clippers. James Harden had a rough start. The groans were coming from the crowd, and he fought back, and Zoo fought back too, and they played a tough game. They needed this one.
Huge game for Zubats, 14 points, 15 rebounds, but Nikola Jokic, he is undeniable.
And he had to work for that shot. That's how great he is. Coming off of pin downs, I mean,
and that
first
one
team all white body.
And then final seconds. We've seen Nikola Jokic make this before.
I thought it was going in.
I did too.
From my seat at the game, it looked like that's the Warriors' shot again.
36 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. But the Clippers get the win, 102-100. So this is where the West bracket looks entering Friday, right? The Nuggets loss, that drops them to the second seed. They're a half game back of the Timberwolves. But, ooh, look at that 4-5 matchup, Kendrick. The Clippers, the Mavs. Those teams have met in the playoffs, remember, back in 2020, 2021. So if the season ended today, that means the Clippers, they would host the Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs. We know how Luka does against the Clippers, right? So please, Kendrick, keep your belt on today.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, who do you think is more dangerous in the West, the Mavs or the Clippers?
Now, I know I did a big list yesterday of my title contenders, and the Clippers were number five. That's before I heard the news of Kawhi Leonard. That's alarming, right? And when you think about the Clippers and them having to get through a tough Western Conference or a matchup against the Dallas Mavericks, you need Kawhi Leonard. Because just as much as Luka has been taking off his belt and giving the Clippers a spanking, Kawhi Leonard in the postseason has been doing the same. So without really knowing the certainty when it comes to Kawhi knee, I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know any other team that's really been playing better basketball all around than the Dallas Mavericks, led by Kyrie and Luka. And I've said this time and time again, Luka, outside of Jokic, Luka is the most dangerous player in the Western Conference. He's top three, in my opinion, in MVP conversations. I love the additions of P.J. Washington and Gafford at the trade deadline. They've been doing wonders. This team is clicking on all cylinders.
This is a Frazier-Ali-level trilogy between these two. And it all really might come down to Kawhi. because the Clippers don't get out of that series in 2021 without Kawhi going into Superman mode and being the best player in the last three or four games of that series after Luka caught fire and stayed on fire for the whole thing. If this actually comes to pass, oh, my God. I mean, this is a get your popcorn ready. Even among the West series, which are all going to be good, this is the main event. Both teams have made trades this season to go all in. The Clippers have been all in for 5 years, waiting to get to the finals. This is who's going to win? I don't know, man. I got to see Kawhi.
It will be a first-round matchup like we saw last year with the Sacramento Kings and Golden State. Mm. That's how strong it would be if Kawhi is playing. Without Kawhi playing, I have Dallas in five.
Well, I will say this, though. Last night's win probably helped keep the Clippers out of the play-in tournament, certainly, but could help keep them all the way up and fourth. And having that home court through that first round.
But people, like, when you walk in Crypto.com Arena, you don't really feel that type of energy when you're the opponent. I'm just keeping it real.
So the home team could not get a win the last time they played in the playoffs. The road teams just killed it. So.
And Luka cooks the Clippers. I mean, he averages 33 a game against them. You have to
I'm getting nervous already. I'm not ready for this yet.
I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Sign me up. All right. You know what else I'm ready for? Our next segment here on NBA Today, because legends Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, they're joining the show to preview the massive Final Four games going down tonight. Their picks on who wins between Caitlin Clark and their alma mater. Plus, should I do it again?
No.
Yeah, please.
Warriors, come out to play! They did in H-Town. We tell you why their hopes for a one last championship run, they may not be out of the question. And Zach Lowe, can LeBron get his fifth ring this season? Save your answer for our next segment, the low-hanging fruit. You see what I did there? Low, Zach, low, low.
All right, okay.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
I've always wanted to be in these moments and have confetti fall down on me.
It's a time of the year where there's more pressure than ever before.
This is what we do. National champs right here.
It takes a special player to be able to handle all that. Some can and some can't. Everybody's going to tune in to watch, see whether they can.
So many weapons for the Gamecocks.
Look at the Wolfpack go.
This time, it's Iowa.
UConn back to the Final Four.
Yeah! I'm only promised 40 more minutes. Might as well go win it.
Women's Final Four, it kicks off tonight, and who better to break it all down? Not with the three of us. Oh, no, no. With two of the greatest to ever play, Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi.
Yes!
Combined five NCAA titles.
Five.
And they're hosting an alternate telecast tonight for both of tonight's games. Massive games on ESPN2. So thank you so much for taking some time, for joining us. I don't want to waste any time. I know Zach doesn't want to waste any time. We're diving right in. Let's start with somebody who just joined you in the exclusive list, Diana, of players to win multiple Naismith Awards, Caitlin Clark. When I think of the way that she approaches the game, I kind of think about you. It's the Mamba mentality of it all. How much of that do you see in Clark?
I mean, she's been incredible. Just the position that she's in right now with the attention and the pressure, and to come out every game and perform, I mean, that just tells you she's just locked in. Like, all this stuff just doesn't bother her. And when you see someone perform at that level, and it doesn't matter if it's college, WNBA, NBA, there's just a different grit about her when she gets on the court, and a different focus.
So what makes her so good?
I mean, we're seeing it right there. Her step back crease. I think her range, and it's really actually that simple. Her range opens everything up for her, opens it up for her teammates. And I also think there's an element, like Dee was saying, she does meet the moment. There's an element to the thrill. She is a thrilling player to watch. And I think that's what has really captivated everybody.
I think we've also gone far enough now in this show without talking about Paige Becker's friend of NBA Today and UConn. Paige's story, her comeback, all of that is incredible. But what do you think makes this a championship caliber team and not just a wonderful story of seeing Paige back healthy and leading again?
Well, you know, everyone talks about how UConn's going to stop Caitlin. And I like to think of how is Iowa going to stop Paige? 2 years ago, I mean, no one was really talking about Caitlin because Paige was so, so good. And obviously, you know, they both developed. But Paige is just one of those players that does it within the structure of a game, which is so hard to guard. You watch her play, she doesn't dominate the ball for 40 minutes. She does off, you know, kickouts and relocations. She's more like the Steph Curry mold where she's playing off the ball, as you can see here. And that just makes someone really hard to guard.
What do you think this game, when it all comes down to it, what do you think it comes down to?
Oh, gosh. UConn has a lot of injuries. They've been getting foul trouble, especially in the backcourt. So I think that's going to be a big key for them. I think for Iowa, when the role players, Kate Martin had an amazing game in the Elite Eight, when those players have big games, they tend to win. But Caitlin will probably have to have a big game herself. So those are kind of the two things I'm looking for.
Sue, Diana, big perk here. My question to you guys is, watching women's basketball right now, college basketball, and seeing the notoriety that is getting it, and watching the LSU game versus Iowa State, 19 million viewers, as two legends that I'm sitting in front of, what does this mean for you guys being able to watch this and embrace this moment?
I think for us, it's exciting. It's really everything that we have worked for, have wanted. I always joke, I wish I was 21 now, but the fact that I did play careers, the fact that I did play 20 years, I think both of us can sit here and say that our fingerprints are all over the game. Diana still are. She's still going. It's exciting. It really feels validating. We've been saying this.
Yes, ma'am.
We've been saying we just need to be put on TV. We just need the investment. So to finally see it is really validating. It's really exciting.
There was nothing broken college, you know? I wouldn't trade that for the world.
It also struck
me. Yeah, that part. Builds character. All those ramen noodles.
What's up, guys? It's Zach. It also strikes me as I listened to the coverage of the tournament, and I wonder if this strikes you, since things are different when you played. Back in your day, like, the coaches almost were the stars of college basketball, and now it seems like that's totally shifted. Like, I don't hear nearly as much about it's Geno versus Pat Summit back in the day. Now it's like the players are the stars, and there's been some debate about, are we focusing too much on the star players at the expense of everyone else? But it seems like that's better for me, that it's about the players and not the coaches. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest, Zach, it kind of, when it comes to women's basketball, you always had these superstars, whether it was, you know, Cheryl Swoops back in the day, and then you go to Shamiqua, and then Sue, and then Maya, and then Stewie, and then, you know, I feel like that superstar in women's basketball you can relate to because they're there for 4 years. I can't name you three guys on the men's side right now.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
Like, and that's just a product of them just staying there for a year or two, so the storylines don't build. But yeah, you're right. And you know who's really mad is Coach Rama, because they don't say his name enough anymore.
Well, you know what, one coach I do feel like we still appropriately bring up enough is Dawn, because all the attention on UConn, on Iowa, it seems like maybe we're overlooking the team who has just put their second consecutive undefeated regular season together. Just how good is this South Carolina team?
Yeah, they're tough. It's their depth, it's their bench. Their guard play has been tremendous. I still think their size is really what's gonna separate them, right? When Camila Cardoza gets going down there, not just offensively, but the impact she has on the game defensively, it just feels like waves are coming at you at South Carolina. But it's interesting. I mean, I've heard people talk about this in the last couple of days. This is what happens when you're great for an extended period of time. People take it for granted, and they don't talk about you as much. And especially when you're on a team with so much talent, it's hard to pick the one player,
right,
the one storyline, the one star. So then it kind of gets overlooked in a way. So now that South Carolina is back undefeated again in the Final Four, they're getting a little bit of a taste of that. I'm sure it's just going to motivate them.
It's a great, elaborate reverse jinx for UConn. It's a great job. Talk up everybody else, guys, and how much of a disadvantage UConn is at. I see what you're doing, and I like it.
Yeah, see, they're on you. All right. Well,
you know, no one's supposed to be there, right? Not the undefeated
team
that's supposed to be there. UConn, who's been there 13 of the last 14 years, they're not supposed to be there. Who the hell's supposed to be there then?
Do we have any friendly wagers on this one between you two?
Well, you know how us and Zach, we're in lockstep. You know what we're here for.
There you go. All right, we're not delaying it any further. It's time. We're going to make some picks. Who you got? South Carolina, NC State.
I'm going with the Cox.
Thank you, Diana. We love that. Stu?
So glad I witnessed that. That was great.
How do I go against that?
Well, how about Iowa and UConn?
I'm taking the Huskies.
I'm taking Connecticut. I think Coach is going to throw the kitchen sink at Caitlin, and she's going to have a tough night. She'll still get 30, but she's going to work for it.
That's what a tough night looks like, you know, just a cool, hard-fought 30. Thank you so much for stopping by. Have fun tonight. We're going to be watching. Really appreciate you both.
Anytime.
I really thought Diana's going to end with a go Cox there. All right, still to come on NBA Today. It was a vintage performance from the Splash Brothers last night. We're going to show you why both Steph and Klay took it personal against the Rockets. But take a look at this. Our MVPs, Andrea Carter, Shanae Agumake, banking shots in slippers in Cleveland. Oh, man, I can't wait to watch them in a couple hours. Buckets.
Watch your ankles.
Look at her go. You can do that, right, Zach?
Yeah, half court shots.
In slippers, though.
In slippers. I wear slippers around the house all the time. I'm good in slippers.
Want to know a secret? I'm wearing slippers right now. You just can't see it under the desk. Yes, ladies. We love it.
Don't hurt yourself, ladies.
We'll be right back.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play!
My math serves me correctly. Tomorrow will be an opportunity to end their season.
Who wants to tell Tari Eason? Who wants to tell him? The Warriors, they came out, indeed, to play!
Oh boy. Okay.
So let's see exactly what went down in Houston. 11 days ago, the Warriors had a one-game lead on the Rockets for the final play-in spot. And that's when Tari Eason made that video and last night came out in that sweatshirt, because remember, he is out for the rest of the season. And then Steph was on the floor doing this, Zach.
Well, first of all, I like the shirt. You be you, Tari Eason. He's getting too much you-know-what for that shirt. And Steph's good.
Quack. That's the word we can say on TV. All right, and then the second quarter here, Klay Thompson.
Splash.
He had some comments that you'll hear in just a couple of minutes about how he felt about all of this. Once again, back out to Klay. Splash.
That looked like the old Golden State Warriors. Throw it in to Draymond. Steph and Klay running the two-man split action. Beautiful basket.
Splash Brothers scored or assisted on 37 points to the Warriors 65 in the first half, and it did not stop there.
They've done this a lot in this arena and inflicted a lot of pain on the Houston Rockets franchise.
Great. Klay still hot. The Warriors up by 16. Next Warriors possession, Steph.
Oh!
Klay.
Dang.
What's his name?
Trayce Jackson-Davis.
29 points for Klay Thompson. Trayce Jackson-Davis had 20. Warriors up big, going ahead to the fourth quarter here, putting the finishing touches on the win for Golden State. And Steph Curry trolling.
I actually like this.
I love all of it.
Me
here's
too.
Klay Thompson after the game. Let's just say he wasn't fond of Tari Eason.
That's pretty lame, especially if you're not even playing. Like, it's one thing if you're playing and you're out there competing and you can back it up, but if you're just going to be trolling from the sideline, like, bro, what are we doing? Like, times we talk mess, at least we're out there competing. I'm not gonna, that's all I have to say about that.
Love the competitive fire. I love talking, that's always fun. But yeah, hopefully next year, he'll say the same thing and we both won't be fighting for the play and we'll be fighting for a seat up top.
It looked like the moment was too big for a lot of players out there. So it looked like Darren had lots a little bit. Either look soft or scared.
I'm kind of with Draymond on that. I kind of liked it. I respect it. Yeah. And then I respected going out and
saying, we don't want jersey swaps. We want this for the game of basketball.
Yeah, I'd hate to wear the wrong t-shirt on Klay Thompson.
You could swap the sweatshirt with the jersey. That might actually have been kind of fun if the Warriors walked out with that.
Yeah.
All right, after all that, though, the Warriors win. It gives them a four-game edge on the Rockets for the final play-in spot with six games left to go. So Houston virtually done here. Good run. Here's what the road looks ahead if the season ended today in the West. The Warriors, they would face the Lakers in a 9-10 game, and then the winner of that would face the loser of the Pelican-Kings game in the play-in. So, Mr. Zach Lowe,
yeah,
it is time for a new segment. Why are there Zach fruits on a tree? Well, because this is low-hanging fruit. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that you may have heard once or twice or a zillion times before, and then I want you to tell us what really stood out to you, because I know that you never take the low-hanging fruit on any of these types of debatey questions. So we're going to start with the Golden State Warriors, because that's who we were just talking about there. And don't worry, we don't just have Zach fruit on the tree. We have apples for you.
The real
and
apples.
For me. The Golden State Warriors, Zach, I would ask you whether or not they are going to make the playoffs when it's all said and done, but that's not what you're looking at because you never take the low-hanging fruit.
Here's what I do with the low-hanging fruit. It's going in the basket.
Oh, yeah, made bucket.
I'm looking at Trayce Jackson-Davis and Draymond Green has changed this defense, their combination of passing, rim protection, and it's going to give Steve Kerr a decision to make when Jonathan Kuminga comes back from injury, because they hinted at it last night. Can they start all three of those guys together? Is it not enough shooting? Is it enough shooting of Steph and Claire on the floor? You might recall Jonathan Kuminga did not seem psyched about coming off the bench earlier in the season. Is this something we're going to have to revisit? It's a late season plot twist, but Trayce Jackson-Davis has been awesome. What a find in the second round.
They're not making the playoffs, okay? One, the
You're
way
taking the low-hanging fruit question.
Pass me an apple. I am.
You're going to eat it?
Okay, so here's the thing. When it comes down to who they have to face right now, they have to face the Los Angeles Lakers. And who has sent them home and eliminated Steph Curry and the Warriors in the play-in tournament and in the postseason? It's been LeBron James. So, yes, I am taking the low-hanging fruit. They're not making the playoffs.
I'm going to let you chew. My mama said don't speak with your mouth full. So stop next
everyone's
stop
mama
for
said
us.
That. Now, mamas are right.
Stop throwing apples.
Let's talk about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers since Perk brought them up. The low-hanging fruit question would be, is LeBron going to win a fifth ring this year, Zach Lowe?
That fruit is on the ground. That's how low-hanging that fruit
over
is.
There.
I will say, though, the Lakers offense, number two in the league. Remember this offense? This is a team that couldn't shoot straight. Number two in the league. Since Darvin Ham put Rui Hachimura into starting five. Lots of shooting around Anthony Davis, and I want to give AD a shout-out. Underrated part of his game, his passing. You stick him in the middle of all this shooting and run pick and roll with him, he gets those little Draymond Green kind of four-on-threes. He's making the right play. He's got the floor mapped in his head before LeBron even gives him the ball. Rui Hachimura on the baseline, bam, I'm going to find you. Dunk. Rui has been amazing, amazing in the last couple months. Same kind of general idea here. He knows. He knows where the shooters are. He knows where the cutters are. Austin Reeves knows. If I cut, he's going to find me. Anthony Davis is having one of his best passing seasons ever, almost four assists a game. Doesn't sound like much, but that's a good number for a big guy playing with a lot of guys who dribble the ball a lot.
Well, 3.5 assists a game is the most in the
And I can't even
19.
Try again with the apple. Perk banned me.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, it's apples all over the floor. Look, to answer your question, okay, no, LeBron James will not win his fifth title this year. And look, the Lakers have been a good team. They're just in a great conference. So when I look at the Lakers, you know the one team that's standing in their way on why they won't win the championship? The team that they haven't beat in forever. The month of neverwhere. That's the Denver Nuggets. So long as the Denver Nuggets and Jokic are in the Western Conference, when it comes down to AD and Bron and the Lakers, You might as well cancel Christmas.
Well, let's talk about the top of the Western Conference, because the Oklahoma City Thunder, they've been hanging up there all season long. And the low-hanging fruit would be, well, is this team just too young to make it through the Western Conference, Zach?
Too young, they spit in the face of these accusations. This is a smart team that's learned, hey, if you're going to put your centers on Josh Giddey and power forwards on Chet Holmgren, we can run pick and roll together. That screws up your matchup. You want to put a quick wing on Chet Holmgren? Eat this post up, and he can put this guy in the basket, post up Josh Giddey, little cross screen. You got no shot against Chet Holmgren. This is a smart, resourceful team, way mature beyond its years. They could make the conference finals.
Why are you he's throwing?
Well, I'm glad
I threw one fruit. That's the same fruit for the record. This is camera trickery.
But I'm glad that apple's on the floor, whatever it is, in half, okay, in pieces, because that's what Oklahoma City is. Look, they're top seed, but at the end of the day, Zach, on your video, on your breakdown, which was great, you showed one side of the basketball. What about the defensive end?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I know they're one of the best defensive teams statistically, but they're also one of the worst rebounding teams. Also, we know in order to get through a tough Western Conference, you got to have that meat in the middle. You got to have that interior presence, especially when you're going against the likes of a Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns, Jokic, Anthony Davis. Like, you need that in the middle of the paint. So they don't have that. This is why so many teams want them in
the
first round matchup.
Is that what the lyric is about? Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Be careful what you wish for.
That's about the meat that you need in the middle. Can you juggle?
There's way too much food and meat references going on. Settle down.
Can you juggle?
And by the way, speaking of what?
Can you juggle?
Speaking of what?
I can juggle.
I don't think I'm alternating.
I thought it was interesting, Big Perk, that when they played Philly the other night, they started Chet Holmgren and big Jalen Williams together for this exact reason. That could be a look we see in the playoffs, and I'm going to throw an apple at you if you disagree.
But how good were they offensively?
Well, that was the low-hanging fruit. Coming up next here on NBA Today, no more low-hanging fruit. Please stop throwing the apples, Zach. We're going to make our picks for tonight's must-see matchup between Caitlin Clark in Iowa, Paige Beckers in UConn. I cannot wait for that tip-off. You did some damage on that. You did some damage on that apple. You're going to throw it?
Get in there. Oh,
it was online, but it was way short.
Go clean that up, too.
They told me to throw it. They said do it one more time.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
That so conference semis here. So can they get to the conference semis?
That depends on the matchup.
No, so it depends. It's red light and green light. That's it, Danny.
No, it's a red light. There's no yellow light.
Steph with a running one-hander with the right hand.
Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews. And the countdown to the postseason, it is on.
Yes.
Why is he whispering? Yes.
Bam! Bam! Bam!
The Denver Nuggets, the big Serbian bully.
I think Philly just showed some fangs last night.
Brian gets a tan and starts saying fangs. Okay, Mr. Whitworth.
He accounted for 71% of Iowa's points, y'all.
Hear ye, hear ye.
We're going to pick the Minnesota Timberwolves. One is a fact, one is a fool. Was he a lifeguard or was he a history teacher?
Lifeguard.
The answer is both. The answer is both. You're right. They're right. What kind of research staff do we have here?
Oh, my goodness. We have too much fun on this show. That Photoshop made my day.
Photoshop? What are you talking about?
You're right. Sorry, we Photoshopped your head on Kendrick Perkins' body. All right, we've only got a couple of days left of the regular season, so we thought we would do a little best of the week, top of the top, looking back at some of the best plays. We're not going to get to do it very many more times in the regular season. We're going to start with the top two-hand throwdowns. Victor Wembanyama, this is against the Dubs.
I mean, oh!
Perk.
Off the crab dribble.
It's not fair.
Very Shaq-like.
It's not fair. And then Anthony Edwards, excuse me, look out below.
In crunch time, too. Extra points. Crunch time dunk.
Oof.
Crunch time poster.
Yeah, I feel bad for whoever has to defend him on any given night. LeBron James, still got it.
Austin Reeves with the dimes.
And then we have some top above the rim here. We're going to start with Paolo Banchero. Calling his own number on this one.
Oh!
That's on Herb Jones, too.
Now, seriously, that's what you call snatching the screws out the rim. Well, right there. That's
got Jackson Hayes going between the legs.
I like that. Little OB topping style.
You ever do that?
Nah, I never. Couldn't really get my leg.
Yay, Raptors.
Oh, poor Raptors. All right, well, then we got to do top above the rim. Then we're going below the rim. Mr. Wardell, Stephen Curry.
Oh!
Night-night to the Rockets. Night-night.
Yeah, night-night to the Rockets postseason hopes as
well. I like that. Showing his package.
And then Luka. What would Mark Jones say there? Put him on a flight like an IG model?
that's like the fourth rudest shot Luka made this week.
I know.
It's disrespectful.
This is number one rude factor right here.
Rude factor?
Yes, it's disrespectful.
Just cancel the game. Just cancel
that's
the game.
That's all you – yeah, it's disrespectful.
Cancel the game.
Well, here's a peek at some of the biggest games we got going on this weekend. Teams are jockeying for position in the postseason. Friday sees the Warriors and the Mavs clash, and then Saturday, Luka and the Cavs square off. Sunday has several games of consequence as well. Obviously, that's just in the NBA because we know the biggest games are tonight in the Final Four. But we're rounding out the week with a little pick 'em segment. And since Queen Chanae is not here, I get to be the queen of the iPad today.
Too much
power.
We're
going to start with a little pick 'em. I can feel it and I love it. Zach Lowe, who you got? Timberwolves, the Lakers. Which team wins the potential playoff series?
I don't know. The Lakers are scary. They got all this experience. The Wolves.
Wow.
Wolves.
Is there?
I'm going with Zach on that one. You can play with the Minnesota Timberwolves if you want to.
You can only go with Zach if you make the noise. Okay.
Put me down with Zach.
You are down with Zach. Well, what about for this one then? Should he stay in college or should he go to the pros? Kendrick Perkins, Bronny James.
I say go to the NBA.
All right. Go to the NBA. Should he stay or should he go now? Why?
The reason being is because I think he would do better as a pro than a college player. But let me say this for a second. I understand it was breaking news today, but why was it breaking news? Was it breaking news because of the production that Bronny was producing on the floor at USC? No, it was breaking news because it was LeBron James' son. And I think it's time for us to cut the cord as a world so that this young man can have his own identity. It's time for LeBron James to cut the cord so he can have his own identity. Like, when we're talking about breaking news and giving a player national media notoriety, right? It's because of his production and what he's bringing to the table. Everything is earned, nothing is given. You know how many players out there that has had like outstanding seasons in college? It's hundreds of them, right? We're not covering them. And so my thing is, it's not a knock on Bronny. It's just to the fact that he needs to find his own lane until he finds his exit. So just cut the cord for a little bit. Not LeBron James' son, but Bronny James.
I feel like Perk dropped the mic on that one. So I have actually something that I think we all should take a look at here as we get ready for the biggest games of the weekend. This is Caitlin Clark's elementary school.
That's fired up right there.
This is her alma mater.
That's that energy right there, Zach. That's it.
This is St. Francis of Assisi, and they are hyped.
That's
no learning today.
For Caitlin
Clark. Learning today.
Who wins?
UConn,
or Iowa?
UConn.
UConn or Iowa?
UConn, and I got South Carolina
as well. Enjoy tonight's
UConn
games. NFL Live is next. We'll see you on Monday.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Built cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much up.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.